understanding that it was stated that we would have a council meeting from 6:30 to 7 and then do our workshop. And apparently that's not happening. So when I left, and I was under the understanding that the only thing we were going to discuss at a quote council meeting and vote on was the whale issue, because it was a semi-emergency. There's four other items, or three other items of ordinance to pass, that I don't think is appropriate that we bring these up and talk to them tonight in this council meeting, because I wasn't expecting them, and I don't think a lot of the public was. So whatever my colleagues want to do, majority is fine, but if we start discussing items 2, 3, and 4, I'm going to go become a member of the audience, because I don't think it's right that we discuss those at a council meeting that was called to talk about a well.
I would agree with 4.
Okay.
So it's pretty simple. If we move 2 and 3 and 4 into the next meeting, everybody's happy and we'll move on.
Let me comment just to make sure things are properly done. The agenda you have before you is the one sent to the newspaper. You legally can discuss and vote on any of these items. You don't have to do that, however. You did call a special meeting. The reason why it was extended, because consideration was given to what if you don't finish your special meeting discussion at 7 o'clock. So we just designated the whole meeting as a special meeting. You can take action on whatever's on the agenda. You don't have to, though. You can stop after the first item, well, number 5, and we can move the other, actually 2 items, because one's already been done. Item 3, you did last October. So items 2 and 4, we can move to next week. It's council discretion. We'd shorten the meeting if you just did well number 5. But you're legal to talk and discuss and vote on anything on this paper. You cannot discuss or vote on anything not on the agenda.
So what are we saying? You want to just do the well number 5? 1, 2, everybody? Okay. That's what we'll do then. So no committee reports either, which is usually this meeting. Okay, so strike that too.
Okay.
Okay. Well, number 5 updates. Larry and Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Since last meeting, we have been in contact with Schneider Equipment, the company that has pulled Well 5 and determined basically what's been going on with it, as we reported last week. And we do have costs for a submersible pump and a vertical turbine pump. We also talked last week about getting a cost for a scenario where we would reduce the size of the column as we went through the area where we know we have a crooked hole. But in talking with the contractor, he thought a reduction would be so minimal in difference of cost, either vertical turbine or submersible, that he's just given us a price for the same size diameter all the way through the entire hole. And basically, with the vertical turbine, what we're looking at is the best bang for the buck he could find was a 1,400 gallon a minute producing pump with a 400 horsepower motor. Total cost, including sales tax, $246,450. And for a submersible, the best he could find was a 1,275 gallon a minute producing pump with a 300 horsepower motor, with the same scenarios as far as the VFD, the sales tax, etc., $251,230. So about, not quite $5,000 more to do the submersible versus the vertical turbine. And when we were talking a few weeks ago as far as where we thought costs were before we had a firm quote from the contractor, we thought the submersibles could be around $250,000 to $290,000. So he's coming in at about $250,000 for the submersible. We thought vertical turbines would be substantially more, $325,000 to $375,000 range. He's actually coming in considerably less, about $246,000. And a lot of that has to do with availability of parts, more shelf-type items for the vertical turbine than the submersible, and more readily available. His prices are considerably less. If we look through them, it includes the variable frequency drive that we think will help out as far as any surges in starting and stopping. It includes reconnecting to the existing telemetry system. We'll have to move a couple of electrical panels in the well house in order to accommodate the VFD, putting the well house back together. Straps across the couplers, like we talked about. The lead time for the equipment is out for the worst scenario about 8 to 10 weeks for the motor. The bowls, which we thought would be a long lead time, they're in a shop down in Pasco right now. It goes up almost immediately. It also includes time for the contractor to fish out or remove the coupler that's stuck in the well casing now, plus any equipment that is still down in the bottom of the hole. If there's a little bit down there, we try to get all of that out as much as possible. That would be the same with either scenario. We've gone through, it also includes a 1-year warranty. He did put a caveat that because the alignment of the hole is off of it, if something happens that is his workmanship or materials, he'll back at 100%. I think we'll probably have a fight on our hands if something breaks within the first year, and he thinks it's because of the misalignment of the hole. Chances of that happening, particularly with the VFD helping out, I think is pretty slim. So that, in a nutshell, quick Reader's Digest version is what we've been able to obtain from the contractor.
The narrow down part where the bend is that our city staff endorsed, what did the contractor think of that? I think not necessary, do it, it'll help, never done it before, what's...
They have done it before. They thought that if we were not going to put the VFD in, there's a good merit to it, but I think Dan had a good idea in wanting to get the VFD in there. That's going to help considerably with any sort of a rotation or vibration that might come through the shaft because of the jerk that you would get with that quick start or stop. I don't want to go on to say it's as much as cavitation or water hammer, but it's a vibration that's occurring because of the rapid start and stop of the equipment. So it still can be done. What we'll probably do is have a conference call with Dan and Schneider Equipment tomorrow. I haven't talked to them about that one yet, but his prices, if he was to go with necking down, is going to be so minimal in comparison. You're talking a couple of $50 couplers and maybe $100 difference in pipe price. All of his labor would be the same, so we're talking a minimal difference. If we can discuss it with the contractor tomorrow and everyone feels comfortable doing it, I don't think we're going to lose much in the way of any head or pressure or gallonage being pumped. But he was tending to think that he could put everything back together, the same size diameter, even if in the submersible, it'd be a lot tighter, and he's talking fractions of an inch clearance by the time he got everything in the hole. But he said he could do it.
Did the contractor or Dan, either one, know where it narrowed down? Were there just smaller spiders in there or no spiders?
They're actually smaller, Mark. They're the shaft and everything, the shaft and the rubber bushing inside, the 2 and 15/16 shaft would remain the same size.
Right.
So the collar and the bushing would be the same around it, but the spider arms would be short. So your circumference or your circle, instead of being for 10-inch pipe, would be for 8-inch pipe.
Okay.
So your arms off of that center support would be shorter.
So it's not freewheeling in the narrow section. It's got spiders in there and supported.
Correct. Actually, we have done this in our well three. We've been running, and I didn't look it up recently, but in my memory, at least 4 years with the next section in well three. Last time it went down, we had to neck it down for 100 feet. So we went one column size down and then back up before and after the crook in the hole. But we had a specific crook in well three, like a ledge, if you would, that came out. So it put a crook in it, and we were able to downsize that. Well five, on the other hand, has never had vibration issues. It's never had winding issues. We've had it tested for vibration and everything, and it's always been fine. So I think, personally, I think a VFD would resolve these issues, plus the new equipment. Instead of having fatigue metal and couplers and things in there, you'll have all this new couplers and equipment in the ground. If you put that on top, a VFD on top of that, it's my opinion that you'd get good life out of that.
Dan, what's your opposition to submersible? What's your experience been with those?
The short life of a submersible is my biggest complaint. In this case, my complaint on the submersible on this one is that you can't give me the gallons per minute that we get out of this particular hole. We have, its design, with its design, we'll pump down to about a pumping level of 70 feet of water above the bolts. So in this case, even in summertime pumping, which is our highest demand, the water table draws down during the summer and the hardest pumping time. And with this design, we've been able to maintain this water level. Now, it hasn't failed me since I've been here. It hasn't gotten better, it hasn't gotten worse. So we need all the water we can get. We don't need to cut back on our production. Once again, we're suffering from, every time we redo a well, we're reducing its production. And I'm hoping we don't increase it or reduce it. I'd like to have it as it was.
And this quote and this plan is a whole new motor?
Yes.
With the turbine?
Yep.
Is there any value in the old motor? Or?
I took it to Tri-Cities and had it inspected. It's virtually disintegrated itself. It's cracked the casing from the shaft and the column came apart. Mm-hmm. You had shaft hanging down in the hole, banging around like a dog's tail down there. It just pretty much tore itself up.
Larry, did you happen to ask Snyder about straightening the hole, what he thought of that thought?
It could be done, but basically we're reaming out or re-drilling the entire hole. And it's a crapshoot, if you will. It may work, it may not work. It's going to be expensive and time-consuming.
Everything in wells are expensive. There's no doubt about that.
Yes, it is.
From what I can gather and what I've been kind of fishing around here trying to find out some information on plus, minus, whatever, and it kind of come to the same theory of what you're talking about here too, is that if you have a smaller submergible pump, you can pick it up off the shelf, but when you get to a pump this size, it almost has to be custom built. That's kind of what I have gathered. So your lead time is going to be a lot further out than that 6 to 8 weeks is what you're talking about. Also, number two, what you're saying is that a turbine will outlast a submergible pump. I mean, that's just a reputation of why it's happened in that well a couple, three times and it didn't last, but it goes back to the same thing. We had a well that lasted there with that first one, lasted, almost 18 years before you had any problem with it. So I think you got to look at that theory a little bit. You've got a well down here, number seven. It's been in there 11 years. You haven't had any problem with that as far as turbine motor. When we went to well number four, and we changed it out to a submergible, we tried to get a bigger one, and we had the same problem. We also come up with more expensive, and it was it cut down our production so much. Of course, that well fluctuated so much that it was probably no big deal. But this one, where it's a high level or high volume gallons per minute, I think we should stay with the turbine pump and go the difference. We talk about the expense of what maybe the electrical bill will be a little less, but is it or isn't, if you start thinking about the difference of how long that pump's going to last and they have to replace it again. So.
I'm not really qualified, but I do know that on the VFD, on well six, for instance, it's a 2400 volt, and it's instant on. It's across the line start. So when it starts, it'll peg the ammeter. The power company looks at the first snapshot, and then during that time, that's what sets the bill. It gives you like 15 minutes. They look at that amp draw for that 15 minutes. With the VFD, and one of the reasons to go with them is because of the slower speed start, you don't get this massive amp draw start low, because you start at zero and you wind yourself up over time. And so even if it is a larger motor, your slower start would actually cost you a little less than across the line, same thing. So your submersible at a 300 will slam start. It'll have to slam start on. It'll be across the line. Well, actually, I take that back, because you're going to put a VFD on it as well.
As far as that crooked hole, it's been that way for 30 plus years, and it evidently didn't create a big problem of that. What the cause of that fault of that pump? I don't think that was a problem. I think it's other reasons involved there. I'm not going to go into them. I've got a theory of my own. I've come up with a new one, but I'm not going to go into it.
Any questions?
Since this is an emergency, we don't have to do the bid process. We could use.
Sorry?
Since this has been an emergency, we don't have to do the bid process. We could use Snyder's, the sole source.
Right. I would ask that you say that in your motion, whichever way you're going to go, turbine or submersible. But say this is an emergency contract with Snyder to do the turbine or the submersible. That keeps everything in line. Remember, we still have the two well situation, five and six, and we still are in trouble. So we're still under the emergency guides that you've set in place.
So are you leaning towards the turbine?
I so move that we go with the turbine pump and still under the emergency situation.
Using Snyder?
With Snyder.
Second that. A second, Mark. Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, the same. Okay, that passes. And I guess this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. Thanks, Dan.
We're off record here. Can I share that little bit?
About the 20 gallons?
Yeah. I'd like to share something with you. Kind of, this is off the record, but I was back in a little town in North
Dakota. You're on the record, Ken.
I think I better not say that.